Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
God, I miss being able to say, you know what that music means for all of our great guests. But this one is the MVP, as Tausch hath proclaimed, for the Packers 2025 season on Wilde and Tausch. He has generated great content, and he has threatened to quit if we clipped him. And I noticed somebody else on the internet clipped him after he said that. He is ESPN's Rob Domofsky. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
We are great. Congratulations on your MVP.
Rob, I'll tell you what. Rob, you've had a hell of a year for us, man.
I can swear some more if you want, Tausch.
You can do whatever you want. That's what MVPs do. You've had a hell of a year. I just wanted to say thank you. You've been great.
What did Kramer say? I let the expletives fly.
That's it, baby. That's it.
You kept making Rob, all the stops.
They kept pulling the cord. What did you want him to do? Rob, I said earlier on the show, how big of a deal? Because, Jason, you know, everybody loves the old quarterback. He just went over to Philly. John Schneider raved about him, and Jason illustrated that. If they really loved him, they ain't going to let him leave, right? If Green Bay thought, we can't let this guy leave, he would not have left. Or am I crazy to make that assertion?
No, I think you're partially right. I don't remember exactly what the blocking rules are anymore about how you can, prevent guys from interviewing. But look, I think Sean Mannion's probably really, really sharp. He's been a position coach for 1 year. Is he really ready to call plays? And again, no knock on Sean. I really enjoyed getting to know him. I wrote a story that I tweeted out yesterday back in the spring, and I talked to some people who think really, really highly of him. And I see no reason to, you know, nothing I've seen in the last year makes me change my mind. But boy, that's a quick jump from assistant quarterbacks coach to quarterbacks coach to play calling offensive coordinator. That's a big one.
Rob, we'll get to some of the defensive hires in a second, but to the offensive side of the ball point, I think there were a lot of us that were expecting some changes, and here we sit on January 30th, and none of them have occurred. Right. I think you and I probably were selfishly, and not that we have anything against Luke Butkus, but I think we're both kind of hoping that maybe James Campen would be the Packers' offensive line coach, and now he's the Steelers' offensive line coach. Are you surprised that, as Tausch kind of phrased it, it appears they're running it back in terms of their coaching staff?
Yeah, I am surprised. I guess until we hear that all these guys are for sure back, we can't say for sure, but it sure seems like you said, Jason, I mean, we're to the end of January here. And if something was going to happen, you would think it would have happened by now. It does appear that way. And it is a surprise, whether it's Steno, Butkus, whoever. I think I thought there might be some involuntary changes. And by involuntary, I mean by those guys, involuntary by the head coach. But, I'm a little surprised, I have to say.
And I don't want to have to be the one who, because I feel like I have to tell fans things they don't want to hear fairly regularly this offseason, including about how Rich Bisaccia is viewed inside the building versus outside the building. Did you all along expect that he would be not going anywhere? And do you think that's a good thing, a bad thing, or how do you view it?
Yeah, I didn't get any sense that they were going to make a special teams coaching change unless Rich Bisaccia was going to retire. Like that would have been, to me, the only scenario in which that would have happened. Like you said, Jace, this guy is very highly thought of in the building. I've said it many times. I watch games, probably not as many as Tausch does, but I watch enough games to see, man, other teams have disastrous special teams plays too. Other teams have a lot of penalties on returns. It's not just the Packers. Now, I realize that, you know, there have been some catastrophic, to use Matt LaFleur's word, plays that have really hurt them. No, I don't think Rich Bisaccia enjoys that word.
He would not agree with that word.
But, yeah, no, I figured there was a pretty strong chance Bisaccia would come back. I did think there might be some changes, you know, on the offense, you know, specifically maybe even up front. But I will say this. I don't know how anybody that's not involved in it can know if a position coach is good or not. I mean, let me change. I think you can tell when a position coach is good, right? He takes a bunch of mid to late round draft picks, turns them into Pro Bowl type players. They play really well. But if the offensive line or running back, if whatever position receivers don't do what you think they would do, is that the position coach's fault? I mean, you know, Sam Gash was the running backs coach during early time in Eddie Lacy's tenure, and Sam Gash basically got let go because Eddie Lacy was overweight. Now, was that Sam Gash's fault that Eddie's weight was a problem? I mean, I don't know, but, you know, clearly he took the fall for it.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the defensive staff as it stands. And the one question that I have gotten a lot of is, how much does Jonathan Gannon decide who the assistants are going to be, and how much does Matt LaFleur? From what I can tell, and please correct me if I'm wrong because you're really plugged in on this, I don't see any commonality between Jonathan Gannon and Bobby Babich in their careers, but obviously correct. Other guys there is. So how does that kind of work from what you understand?
Yeah, I believe it's it's a collaboration on that. And like, I think it's important to point out that Matt LaFleur and Jonathan Gannon never worked together before. Like, somebody said, oh, this is another buddy hire. No, it's not. I don't even think they knew each other very well, other than, you know, taking the picture at the owners' meetings with all the head coaches and the post game handshakes. And so that is not a buddy hire. Like, was Joe Barry a buddy hire? Yeah, maybe he was. But I also think there's back and forth. Like, Jeff Hafley had a connection to Ryan Downard. Ryan Downard was here before Jeff Hafley was, but it makes sense that a guy like Ryan Downard goes to work for Jeff Hafley. That happens in the league. Like, you hire people that you're comfortable with. You hire people that the people you respect in the business speak highly of. It doesn't mean you're hiring your buddy. It means you're hiring someone you know trusts. And I think that's that happens with coordinators and then position coaches. Clearly, whatever scheme that Jonathan Gannon wants to run, he's going to go to Matt LaFleur and say, I think this guy can teach the linebackers how to do this. I think this guy can teach this. And Matt LaFleur is going to say, well, we have a guy that does that and does it really well. So I do think it's a little bit of a teamwork collaboration there on that when it comes to defensive assistants. But you're right, Jason. I mean, like, the defensive coordinator in a situation like this is the head coach of the defense. And, he's going to have some or more than just a little say on the staff.
Rob, last week you came on here and you were talking, and you didn't say, but you kind of had us thinking, it's Jimmy Leonard's job to have if it was going to be.
Yeah.
It didn't work that way.
Right.
Was this just how did you think this all played out? Because I think a lot of Packer fans got their hopes up, myself included, because I wanted Jimmy Leonard. Yeah. And the way it played out, Gannon ended up do you think there was a little bit of pressure that if he left the building, he was going to be a coordinator somewhere else, and you're rolling the dice if Jimmy Leonard was going to end up taking the job?
Yeah, I think that's 100% it. Sometimes you can't wait for things, right? And they, I can tell you for 100% certainty, there was mutual interest, and there had been, they couldn't talk to him, but they could talk to people who would be able to say, yes, Jimmy would like to talk to you when he's available. Like, that's legal, right? Like, that's not tampering. There's nothing wrong with that. And those conversations did take place. Now, that being said, if you were Matt LaFleur and Goody or whoever else is involved in this process, and you get the sense that you really like Jonathan Gannon, who interviewed here, it was last Friday, I believe, Thursday and Friday or Friday, Saturday, And you got the sense that, hey, if he leaves here, he's going to get on a plane and go somewhere else. Then maybe you have to make that move. And that's the way it works sometimes. Like, now we could get into a whole debate about, you know, should teams that are still in it, guys who work for teams still in it, be penalized? Maybe you could just make this all easier and not let anybody talk to anybody. But I would assume back channel deals would still get done. So maybe that wouldn't even matter. But yeah, this was a case of circumstance where Matt LaFleur and the Packers felt like if they didn't act on Jonathan Gannon now, that they might not have him. And that's, you know, and like, again, this is no knock on Jim Leonard. I don't know Jim Leonard at all. Have heard nothing but really good things. But, I mean, Jim Leonard's never coordinated an NFL defense. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be good at it. But maybe LaFleur, you know, maybe that was the only question or a question that Matt LaFleur had. And because he couldn't wait to get that question answered and wasn't sure how the question would be answered, whether it would be to his liking, that he felt he had to go this direction.
Yeah, he had a little source off. It seemed like there was a little source off.
And I'm glad you asked that. So I probably did a poor
get the
job.
The dump button ready.
I'm good here. I probably could have worded it a little better in terms of like my sourcing on, you know, where and who was interested in Jonathan Gannon. What I probably should have said was that sources said the Packers believed that Gannon was going to be a candidate with both Harbaughs. Okay. That probably would have been a better way for me to phrase it. Now again, I had heard that both Harbaughs were interested in at least talking to Gannon, but what I should have said, and there's a distinction there. I can see Jason's Johnny Journalism's seat is he's getting excited. I probably should have worded it as that the Packers believed and Matt LaFleur believed that Jonathan Gannon would be in demand and was going to be possibly interviewed by both or either Harbaugh.
Mm. Jason?
Is that
how you should have worded it?
I'm not here to tell our MVP how to
there
word
you
that.
Are.
What
you
I am here to say
roll around here,
is
yeah.
that
is what you love doing.
I did not see that part of Rob's story, so when I saw another writer referencing it, as I think Rob well knows, even beat writers that I don't like to take shots at or question their work, and so I didn't know where that was coming from when it was phrased the way it was by someone else. I would just say this. Rob's really good at what he does, and if I read something from him, I'm almost always expecting it to be accurate.
I appreciate that. I probably could have been a little bit more clear on presenting the information.
I've got a history of supporting Rob, and sometimes it gets me yelled at by the quarterback's girlfriend while I'm walking around the Mall of America. Other times there's a little less blowback, so it is what it is. But I've for a long time
you guys got in a fight with Ronica?
No.
No, I was going to say, you guys can't help yourselves, huh?
What little interactions I've had with Ronica Stone Love have been very friendly. Hello, how are you? Getting on and off airplanes. You know, me hoping that when I see her at the gate that she didn't put in for the first class upgrade because we're probably our statuses are probably battling it out to see who has more Delta Sky Miles and more Delta status. It would be, I'm not going to say her name, but her initials are Olivia Effin Mund.
Oh, effing. Okay. Rob, quick question, because you brought up Sky Miles. If you have a certificate.
Jason, M-U-N-N or M-U-N-D? I can't remember.
M-U-N-N. I still have her in my phone if you want to give her a call.
She was really good. I hate to say this, but did you watch Your Friends and Neighbors, relatively new show? She was outstanding.
Yeah, I watched that. Apple TV. It was a good one.
Yeah, and Jesse, like, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm hating myself for, boy, you know, she's really good in this role. Like, she was really good. And John Hamm was excellent. I can't recommend that show enough, as much as it pains me to say.
Boy, that's about as good of a recommendation as you can get. I hate
just
one
wait,
of the
what's
people
the name
in
of the show?
Your Friends and
what
Neighbors.
Is it called?
It's like
it's on Peacock. Okay.
No, it's on Apple TV. It's like an 8-episode miniseries. Yeah, really good.
Outstanding.
Really good. Kind of Ozarkian, okay. Tausch, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Ozarks.
It's no land, man.
Would really, really like it. I really
I'll check that out. I'm stuck on Pluribius right now, and I'm kind of torn
on
that.
I'm sorry? Pluribus, I believe, is what you're looking for there.
I'm not familiar
with either of those shows. And just not that we're going to go down the rabbit hole of television, but I'm currently watching The Bear. I don't know if anyone has seen The Bear.
Weren't you starting Landman? Because that's Tausch's show, but he only watches it on airplanes.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing is I watched the first two episodes of Landman on one of the long flights. Where were we? I can't remember what the last decently long flight was. And I liked it so much, but I said to myself, I go, you know what? My wife's going to want to watch this. So I stopped and want to watch it with her. So I put the brakes on that, and we'll get back to it as soon as we're done with probably The Bear. I think I might, that's one of the subscription services that I don't have. So I think I might have to pony up for. Is that on Paramount, maybe? I'm not
sure. I believe
that's
so,
Paramount.
Yes.
Yeah. Or on Air.
I think I have everything but Paramount, so I might as well add it to the list.
Well, you got all those zeros on that ESPN check. Tausch, did you have any other questions for Rob before
I was going to go down the airplane route, but I think we're covered that. Rob, so is there any other staff moves you think are going to happen? Or do you think this is pretty much – he's obviously going to have to hire more defensive coaches.
Well, yeah.
But –
yeah, it's a great question, Tausch. I actually, one of the things I was going to try to do today is just update, like go through my, like literally write down the organizational chart as it is right now. There's probably a few more openings than I realized. But I, you know, like Jason said right off the top, it's January 30th. I think the days of Friday news dumps are at 4:30 are over. But I guess until I can say definitively, and I cannot – say definitively that there are no more changes, I don't know. I mean, every time I ask, I get the same answer, is that I'm still working through things. So it's a way of people over there just avoiding the question. But the reason is, why are they avoiding the question? And I don't have that answer.
All right, Rob, speaking of avoidance, before we let you go, you were there in the alumni suites back in June with Ed Policy. Yeah. And a bunch of us talked with him, and some had beers that I would have liked some bubbler drinks to be available for some of us, but that's okay. But one of the things he said, and I think you were the one who brought it up to him, it was either you or Pete Doherty, the nonsense of them extending LaFleur and Goody back in 2022 and never telling anyone.
Yep.
And just so unless I missed this, it still hasn't been formally announced.
Right. And those extensions were never formally announced either, but the information got out. And I think that's they're not, and they may announce them at some point. Goody's deal and Russ Ball's deal should be done soon. If they aren't already, I'm sure they'll be done very soon. And maybe there will be some sort of announcement then. But I think the point was, last time those deals were done in like March or April, and nobody even got word till July. It was like the day before training camp. So whether they make a formal announcement or not, I think Ed's point, and I did ask it, I wanted to get some transparency. I think Ed's point is, whether we announce it or whether we just leak it or someone leaks it, it will get out.
So that would tell me that for whatever reason, do we not think the Goody and Russ Ball deals are completed? Because we had very good sourcing on the Matt LaFleur one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're close. And I think the part of the thing with Goody's deal was, well, first of all, they spent that whole week, with the meetings and then doing the LaFleur deal. And then Goody went to the East-West Shrine Game in Dallas.
The Senior Bowl.
They may not be, they may not have put pen to paper on that deal yet. So I think that, that's why Goody hasn't talked yet, and he will. I would be curious to see if Ed does talk when this is all done. I think he should. I think it's important for, the new face or new figurehead of the franchise to be out front about it. I would hope that he talks. But I do think, Jason, at some point, I don't think there's anything nefarious. Is that the right word? I don't think there's anything nefarious going on here. I think there's just, football jobs came up. The contract with Goody was not urgent. The contract with LaFleur was urgent, so that you could go ahead and, get staff members and all that stuff. So I think I would be surprised, and I've been before, but I would be surprised if by the end of next week we don't have Goody, Russ, Dunn, and possibly even hearing from some of those people involved, whether it's, I don't know that we'll hear from LaFleur again, but Goody will talk, and then hopefully Ed does as well.
Well, as we get ready for the Super Bowl, we will have you one last time, and I'm going to talk to Elliot Wolf and hopefully Ron later today, but is it not crazy that two former Packers executives led their teams to Super Bowls?
I talked to Ron yesterday. I mean, no secret, we're all writing the story, right? Talked to Ron. I think Ron's 89 years old, I think, sharp. Now, he did just have dental surgery, so you have to bear with him. His words will be a little tougher to get out, so give him some time. But, yeah, it's two guys who basically went to the same high school. I know they were called different things. You know, one was Abbott Pennings and then Green Bay Notre Dame, but they're basically the same high school now. One of which, I don't think Elliot played high school football, did he? I'm not sure. Maybe he played freshman in JV. And then John Schneider was just a D3 guy. It's not like these are blue chip recruits and longtime NFL pros who became GMs. Man, these guys did it. You know, I'm not saying that anybody did it the easy way, but these guys did it the hard way. And I know Elliot's name is Wolf, but trust me, I don't think anything came easy for him. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who thought he would have been a GM before this.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, from a Packers fan standpoint, like at least you got some intrigue in the game that way. And, you know, I wonder how many times they'll have the split screen on the broadcast of Schneider and Elliott in their respective booths during the game. So, but yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy talking to Ron. I had Mike Reese talk to Elliott for me. I just figured he's going to get inundated with a million people, and our Patriots writer was going to talk to him anyway. So, and same thing with Schneider out in Seattle. So, but I think people will enjoy reading those stories. Hopefully, I know you're doing one. I'm sure Press Gazette's doing one. So hopefully we all have a little different nuggets in there, and people will enjoy reading those next week.
Well, for both of you guys, was there ever a point?
Good to know.
Was there ever a point where John Schneider was offered or had an opportunity to be the GM of the Green Bay Packers?
So not the GM, Tausch, but I had this in my story over the summer, and it got, you know, basically no attention, which is fine. I put it in the story about Ed Policy because it was, you know, when Ed was introduced, I just had in there, you know, Ed was one of four finalists. John Schneider was a finalist for the Packers president job less than a year. Oh, well, I guess it would have been. Yes.
Really?
It was deep in a story. Homer didn't know about it when I brought it up on his show, which is fine. Like, I wasn't.
Who are the other two?
The other two was a guy from Washington and then Jeff, what's his name, from the league office. Now I'm going to have to find this story.
First name Jeff.
Last name Roberson.
Jeff Miller.
G-E-O-F-F or Jeff?
Stop. Okay, hold on. Hold
Jeff.
Oh, boy.
I read that story. I don't remember any names other than John Schneider's. Because that jumped off the page.
Okay, John Schneider, Washington Commanders President Jason Wright, and NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Miller, J-E-F-F. Those were the four that made it. And I don't know, I don't think I used the word finalist, but those were the four candidates that went the deepest into the search. And, you know, Schneider had one time early in his career in Seattle, had an out clause that he could become the Packers GM. And then after he did an extension or two, that actually was removed. Obviously, they couldn't block him to become the president because that's a promotion, different job. But, I think there was a time where people thought John Schneider would maybe come back here as the GM. I mean, why would you leave Seattle? He's had such a great run there. The support of ownership there. His family, I know, Tracy and the boys are very comfortable there.
Because it's home.
It's fun to see. Yeah, I mean, it's fun to see see them every year at the owners' meetings. John's dad passed away this last year, and I got to see John at the funeral. And, yeah, I mean, this is home. But, man, he's been in Seattle for 17 years now, and I think he would tell you that feels like home too.
In 2018, he was certainly interested in the job, but there was no getting out of his deal, and the Packers would have had to pay.
Yeah, that was when, by then, he had already done enough extensions that they had removed that Packers GM clause. He had it at one point, but you're right.
Well, from what I understand, he wasn't even the best player on that DePere Abbott Pettings team. That was Aaron Popke, from what I've been told by Aaron Popke. Rob, we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks.
All right, have a great weekend. See you.
That is Rob Domofsky. Some are saying he is the MVP of this season for Wilde and Tausch.